Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show. I am your host, Dadon Tolbert. It's good to be back live tonight after a great 4th of July weekend. Hopefully everyone had a relaxing and prosperous holiday, spend it with friends and family. In fact, this is actually a really good week for myself. I'll be celebrating, a couple of you have already, you know, wished me a happy anniversary, but my wife and I will be celebrating 3 years on this Wednesday. So shout out to my lovely wife and everyone who has, offered support and been supportive over the last, several years. Tonight's show is going to be, a special Ask Dadon Advice edition where we're going to be discussing a topic that many of you have actually inquired about over the years and kind of asked, did we have plans on discussing this? You know, what did I think about it? Tonight we're going to be talking about aliens, demons, the extraterrestrial, the supernatural. Over the years, people have, obviously been seeing movies and, television shows and, articles and magazines and things like that, and just, toys have been marketed and almost really shoved down our throats in the form of, zombies and, other things like that, giants. And, obviously you can look at it from an entertainment standpoint, but we can also look at it, which we're going to do tonight, from a biblical standpoint, which is something that, and I'm not sure about you guys, that I really have never seen done before. I've never heard any sermons. I've never seen any TV shows. I've never heard any radio shows where somebody actually, took some time and spoke about specifically what the Word says, about, the extraterrestrial, supernatural, things are that are not of this world, So we're going to do that tonight, and I'm not going to do it by myself. We have a special guest today who's going to be here with us. Courtney has the evening off, but a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, friends for a long time, Minister Oshel High is here with us this evening to help us discuss this. This is something that I would actually consider him to be an expert on. I don't like that word. I use it very infrequently. But if there was an expert on this subject, someone who is very familiar with the Word of God, as well as very familiar with documented cases of things of the, and I don't want to say too much about it because I definitely want him to introduce it, but things that are not of this world, things that have been documented and out here in society, we're going to combine the two. We're going to talk about it, talk about some actual sightings, talk about some cases of abduction, but also really talk about what the Word, what the Bible says regarding these things. So as always, when we're live, you guys are welcome to call in with any questions or comments or feedback or anything that you guys may, just want to share or contribute to the show. We definitely keep it real, and I know that, this is new, for many people. They're listening just from an information standpoint. They just, this is new to them. They want to learn, and so definitely that's okay. I would encourage everyone, I will say this too, before we get into it, you may want to get your Bibles, because I know Oshel is very, he's like me. He likes to back things up, with the Word, and, everything is from a biblical standpoint, a spiritual standpoint. So we're going to be spending a lot of time examining certain scriptures that speak directly to the things that we're going to be talking about tonight. So this is definitely going to be a groundbreaking show. I'm excited about it. It's always good to talk to my friend Oshel. Matter of fact, I'll go ahead and introduce him now. My man, Osh Diggity Dog. Oh, my bad. So we got to keep it professional, man. What's going on with you? Go ahead and introduce yourself to the people.
How you doing? How's everyone doing out there? As Dadon said, my name is Minister Oshel High. And, as he said, we're going to talk on, some subjects today, aliens, UFOs from a biblical perspective. Dadon, I appreciate you having me on the show. Appreciate that much. So I just want to say thank you for that.
No, absolutely, man. This is a subject that you and I have talked about over the course of, the last several months. And I'll be honest, you guys know me, I keep it real. This was not a subject that I was passionate about. You guys know I speak a lot about other subjects, that you guys are used to hearing about seven nights a week here. You know, many different stuff, but this was has not, you know, historically been one of the things that I've been really interested in, but just being friends with Oshel and listening to some things that he has shown me, as well as some research that I've done on my own, from an, you know, a research perspective as well as a biblical perspective, this stuff is like eye-opening and mind-blowing to me. So me, you know, I don't talk about anything that I'm not passionate about. You know what I'm saying? If you guys notice, there are a lot of things out here that I like to, as I call it, let mentally marinate. This was definitely one of those shows. This isn't something that's new to us, you know, but it's something that I've wanted to familiarize myself with, you know, before I even put it out there to you guys. And this is also something I know Osho has been spending years researching. So we're just, you know, and we've even, you know, talked about this, we've prayed about this, you know, what is the best way to introduce this information to the masses? So, definitely, man. I'm just excited to be here. It's good to have you here. I want to jump right into it because there's so much to talk about, so much information that I want to make sure we get into on this evening. But again, 646-200-0366 is the call-in number with any type of questions or feedback or comments. You know, we Osho keeps it raw, keep it real. So definitely, you know, we can jump into it. Osho, let's start this way. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? I mean, you introduce yourself, but give them a little bit of information about your background, you know, who you are, what you do. We know you're a minister, but just so they have a feel of, you know, who are they listening to giving this information?
Sure. As I said earlier, my name is Minister Osho High. I've been involved for ministry for over 7 years. I'm a husband and a father. I have two children. You know, from a academic standpoint, I have a BS in animal science from Tuskegee University, and also have my MA, Master's of Theology from Regent University in Virginia, and currently I work in the field of counseling. So just to give you a little background about myself.
Good. And so let's talk, and let me just tell you guys, Osho is one of those guys, me and him, understand, we go back, one of my first real friends, you know, I'm talking about high school, and so, understand, I know Osho very well, he knows me very well. Everything you're going to hear from Osho, and this is, you guys listen to me every night, you may not be familiar with him, but I'm just telling you this, listen to what this man is talking about, you know, when he speaks, because if there was ever a man who, you know, and I'm being, this is 100% real for me, a man who was on fire for God. You know, I've never met anyone who was more on fire for God, for Jesus Christ, and preaching the word. In fact, you guys, Osho might not have heard, but you guys have actually heard many stories about Osho and our experiences early on in life, you know, as far as when he was just living for Christ and spreading the word of Christ. So I say all that to say, you know, he knows what he's talking about. He's gotten me through some tough situations spiritually and just relationship-wise and things like that. So definitely a good brother. But Osho, mm-hmm. Let's jump into it, man. Let's
okay.
Talk about these, you know, E.T. No, I'm just going to let you know. Well, we are going to talk about enough to be serious. Mm-hmm. How did you become interested in, you know, alien life forms, the extraterrestrial, the supernatural? What was it that sparked your interest initially?
Well, you know, Dadon, to answer that question, and for everybody out there, I'm sure that a lot of people can probably relate as well. As you know, as most kids, most kids do. I long had an interest in science, you know, science fiction. You see stuff on TV. You know, I was in the superhero characters, you know, when I was young, like Spider-Man, you know, Superman, Wolverine, you know, Incredible Hulk, all the, you know, different superheroes. I'm sure everybody, you know, knows about superheroes. And, you know, and also I was into not only that, but, you know, science, sci-fi shows. You have your shows like, had shows back in the day like Outer Limits or Doctor Who. Probably, ringing a bell for a lot of people, jogging their memory. Quantum Leap. You know, stuff like that, Star Trek, so, you know, which is, I had been on this on TV for years. So, you know, even some of these superheroes, you know, when you look at Superman, well, what is Superman? He's supposed to be from another planet, an alien, you know. When you look at sci-fi shows like Star Trek, well, they're traveling through space, you know, meeting aliens, alien life forms from other planets. So, you know, that's kind of how I got into that. So aliens, to me, seem like, you know, that's what I'm watching on TV, that's what I'm reading in comic books. So that kind of becomes a natural progression, you know. As we're growing up, we're impressionable, and so if somebody gives you something, shows you, and say, you know, draws a storyline with characters from other worlds, well, then you're probably going to start to wonder, well, are there really, you know, beings from other planets and other worlds? You know, you start wondering about that. So, and then there was a show like Sightings, I think, came out in 1995. Some people may know about that. And they supposedly had actual footage of alien craft or UFOs, on TV. And also I'd heard about all the, you know, abduction cases, which had a lot of similarities across the world. So that's kind of how I became interested in the subject or, in the topic of aliens.
Okay. This is where I want to take the show. And let me just, I want to put a little disclaimer out there. You know, you guys know the Data on Tolbert show is known for touching on subjects that are, you know, viewed by the mainstream media as controversial. You know, we talk a lot about things that you won't hear anywhere else, like the Illuminati, you know, Satanism in the entertainment industry, you know, the government and how they're pushing this satanic agenda. And that is absolutely what I'm passionate about talking about. And this show, specifically when we get into, aliens and things not of this world, you guys have to understand, we're going to discuss this evening some actual documented cases that involve the government cover-ups with, you know, senators and congressmen and even individuals in the military, which are definitely going to cause you to look at things from a different perspective and also cause you to connect the dots in regards to some other things that we, you know, cover on this show on a regular basis. So, but Osho, as far as you're concerned,
yeah.
And before I ask you that, let me just say one last thing about that. This is one show that, and really all shows, we're not trying to this evening convince anyone of anything. What we're simply looking to do tonight is introduce you to the thought of the possibility of, you know, thinking outside the box. Are there alien life forms? And if so, what are they? You know, and again, what does the Word of God say about them? And understand there's a lot that it does say, you know, which we'll get into. But I just want to, you know, encourage you all. I guess what I'm saying is do your own research. We're not here to prove anything. We're not here to convince you. We're here to inform you and introduce you to a different way of thinking with an open mind and encourage you guys to do some research on your own. But also, you know, that's my take on it. What would you like the listeners to take away from tonight's show?
Well, just a couple of things. To begin with, like you said, Dayton, you know, for anybody that's listening this evening, you know, anything that I say, you can look it up for yourself. So that's one thing that, you know, that I put out there. But what I really want the listeners to take away from this evening is, number one, who or what are or what aliens really are. That's the first thing. There's a lot of mystery surrounding that. So I want people to clearly understand who or what aliens really are. The second thing is also want people for anyone who believes they have or has had an abduction experience to be free from fear, which I'll, you know, get into a little bit more later. But I do want, you know, people to be set free from that. And number three, I want people to understand and people to see and prove to people that the Bible is true and also relevant in regards to what's going on in today's society, because a lot of people don't think it is. But I want people to hear and see that it actually is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's something we talk about every day here, man. The Bible is. I mean, you know, if you're a believer, you should understand that the Word of God is applicable in all situations. It's whether it's relationships, what you see in the government, what you see just in your everyday life. I mean, it's absolutely true and it's infallible, and it is the Word of God. So what we're gonna, like you said. You know, and we're not going to talk about anything tonight that's not in the Bible that you know can't be found, from a spiritual perspective. Let's get into it though, man. I really want to jump head first into it.
Sure.
When you look at, you mentioned a couple things earlier. You know, whether it's World War Z, Jack the Giant Slayer, this whole Twilight saga, the Vampire Diaries. I mean, we are really seeing an influx of television shows, movies that specifically deal with aliens, vampires, demons, zombies, you know, and to get deeper into it, not just those beings, not just that phenomenon, but specifically, okay, we're seeing the you know, sexual relationships. We're seeing intimate love stories that specifically consist of, and understand this, guys, we'll explain exactly why I'm focusing on this in a few minutes, but specific, you know, stories and movies and television shows that deal with supernatural things that are not of this world, you know, procreating, falling in love with humans. And this is a subject matter that Hollywood and the entertainment industry as a whole, it has literally been shoving down our throats, and these are big-budget, blockbuster, billion-dollar enterprises that specifically focus around, what was that, new Warm Bodies, where a woman falls in love with a zombie. You know, these are things that Hollywood has become very passionate about, and in regards to the things that we talk about on a daily basis, as far as this satanic, you know, agenda, you know, whether it's homosexuality, you know, sex, money, drug, whatever it is, you know, the government it has become passionate about having real life play out in entertainment. You know, we did a whole show on these Boston bombings. We did, you know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, these movies that center around real life events. You know, so, you know, and even a lot of things that pertain to the end of the world, the you know, the coming back of Christ. You know, a lot of these musicians and artists are speaking and singing and rapping about the end of the world, what it's going to be like, you know, all black, everything. We talk a lot about Jay-Z and that whole agenda. So I guess what I'm saying is I want you guys to understand this is right in that same bag. This is in the same conversation, this whole extraterrestrial, you know, subject matter that's really been popular, you know, really not even as of late, but just, you know, like you said, Superman is how old? You know, E.T., these are big budget blockbuster enterprises. Osho, what do you attribute to, and I can't wait till you break this really down from some of these biblical scriptures, but what's going on with Hollywood, man? Why is the government, why is the entertainment industry, which is really one and the same, but why are they so passionate about making movies and TV shows about things that are not of this world?
Well, Dion, what I would say about that, and I know you mentioned a lot of things that people may say, okay, you know, the movies, you know, are the movies, and that's what they are, you know. And a lot of things that we see in movies, you see, and we say, okay, that's science fiction, that's, you know, that's make-believe. However, one thing that you have to consider, just in regards to movies and some of the things that you see, consider this. Before human beings were recorded as setting a foot on the moon, right, before the first astronaut actually set foot on the moon, at least as recorded, there was a movie about going to the moon. And so I'm sure when everyone saw that movie initially, they thought, you know, what a fantastic idea, that will never happen. Yet in real life, it actually happened. So when you look at, you know, what's on TV, what's on movie, we see these, you know, TV shows, mediums, the spiritist, you know, people talking to the dead and things like that. And then there are so many movies about aliens or making contact. As I said, Star Trek, a lot of things, Doctor Who, making contact with, you know, life forms that are not fully human or not human, then you have to consider, you know, sometimes or look at what is Hollywood really trying to do? What are they, you know, what are they trying to get us to buy into? Might be a good word to look at as well.
Right. Let me just say something else that I just thought of while you were speaking. It's interesting that, and I want everyone to research this stuff because understand, every major event, you know, Osho mentioned that, you know, going to the moon, there's been a movie or a television show like that is, I mean, I'm talking about, look at so many, you know, movies and things that pertain to a 9/11 type of event, if not 9/11 itself, prior to 9/11. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you guys, if you've seen any of those videos, I mean, there's so many cartoons. These people are sick. They will literally put stuff out there before it happens. You know, there. I mean, a lot of these movies don't just get made for no reason. Okay, these movies are getting made as a preview. Look at, you know, Batman. I'm sorry. You guys know the Aurora shooting. You guys know. I mean, if you saw James Bond, Skyfall, you already know that there was a huge skyscraper that said Aurora, you know, blatantly, right there on the building, that preview aired, you know, during the Batman shooting in Colorado. The Batman showing, you know, in the movie theater. That's what they were watching when the place was shot up. So I'm just saying, and that was, anyone who thinks that's a coincidence, there's no coincidences out here. All these things that just happen, you know, there have been movies, there have been TV shows. You may or may not have heard about them, but they are out there. I've seen them all. We don't have time to get into them, but there's so much to this stuff that we don't even get a chance to, that doesn't get it, make its way to the mainstream media. So what Osho's saying as far as you really got to look at the agenda, you know, of the government and what they want you to see, and almost look at it as a preview of what is to come. I mean, you know, Battleship, there's a new movie coming out, you know, with that whole thing with Rihanna a couple of years ago. There was this new Pacific Rim or something like that, you know, about aliens and things like that. I mean, and we could go on and on. Independence Day, I mean, and in fact, we talked a few months ago about how every major, you know, actor, you know, has every major Hollywood star, Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, Will Smith, you know, Matt Damon has just got a new thing coming out. I mean, every major, you know, superstar out here does have some form of, you know, alien type of blockbuster under their belt. It's almost like a, you know, you have to do it, you know, to be considered a superstar. You know, Robert Downey Jr. I mean, these are things that everyone has. And so it's not a coincidence. I just want you guys to keep these things in mind as we're about to get really deep into, you know, like I said, what the word says is going on. I want to move us forward into some actual documented cases because, you know, we can talk about it from a speculative perspective all night long, but we don't want to do that, you know. And this is where you can get your Google up. Funny thing is, let me just, you know, Google some of these things that we're talking about, research them on your own, jot down some notes. But, and I don't know, you know me, I'm not superstitious, but this was just weird to me. You guys know we've been talking about this show for a long time. I go to Google this morning to look up some stuff. And if you go to Google right now, their little home screen is of an alien. You know, a flying saucer with an alien right inside of it. You know, the one day that we decided to do a show on aliens, I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe I'm sure it's just a coincidence. Who knows? But that's just weird. I mean, Osho, did you even notice that we didn't get a chance to talk about that?
Repeat that one more time, did I?
The Google's homepage. Did you get a chance to see the alien little logo on their homepage that just went up today, this morning?
No, actually, I did not get to see the alien logo on the Google homepage. But that's actually interesting in itself, just in the fact that when you would, I don't even want to get into that really, but what you have going on with the information in government, you know, and that whole big thing going on right now, and there's a tie-in with that, which I don't know if we'll get to as well, but that's quite interesting. That you see the alien on the homepage.
Yeah, it's amazing to me, you know. And I'll say this, and I'll leave it at this. There's a lot of things, interesting things, weird things that have been happening to me personally and even professionally. You guys just know from listening to the show, a lot of technical, you know, difficulties. You know, every time we tend to do shows that deal with this type of subject matter, things with my email. But I don't even want to say too much, you know what I mean? But it's very interesting. We'll leave it at that. Let's talk about, Osho, some real-life, you know, alien sightings. What actual documented cases of alien abductions, sightings have there been over the last 10 years? I know you've seen many, but just we're going to focus on a few tonight that the people that, you know, we think that may be interesting in regards to tonight's conversation, just to give people an idea of what's going on.
Well, sure. You know, Dayton, like you have, well, let's say, for instance, on October 4th, 1955, and again, anybody can Google this information that I'm talking about here and look it up. There was a U.S. senator named Richard B. Russell, Jr., as a matter of fact, Richard B. Russell, Jr. He was, you know, on official business, so it would be government business, with two of his companions, and they were traveling by train across Russia. And apparently the senator, well, he did report, I'm not going to say apparently, he reported, you know, seeing a disc in the sky as he was on the train, coming down on a vertical angle very slow. I think he said it was maybe approximately 6,000 feet. And then as he saw the disc, it sped off, which I don't know if, you know, people are familiar with, you know, sightings. Generally when people see, have UFO sightings, it's usually the ship is there, it's there for a few minutes, and then it speeds off. He saw another ship or another disc as well, and apparently the second UFO did the same thing. And again, you can look all this information up. This information and his testimony about what he saw, as well as his companions, was apparently held secret for at least 3 decades. This information was not released, but you can now find it on the Internet. As a matter of fact, again, another case on October 25th of 1973, there was actually a sighting by a farmer. And his name was Stephen Pulaski. Now, he was in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. Stephen, or you know, Mr. Pulaski, saw a UFO. And as he saw the UFO, he actually saw the UFO land just like in a green pasture, like you see in the movies and stuff. And he saw two hairy creatures, large hairy creatures, get off the ship. Again, I know this may sound like, you know, science fiction to some people, but this is documented. There are numerous witnesses actually to afterwards, as far as the things that happened afterwards and the testimonies. And not only that, but a state trooper documented this case officially in the police records. He reported that the ground where Mr. Pulaski said that he saw the UFO land, when the state trooper arrived, the ground was still glowing. The ground was actually glowing where the UFO had landed. Also, the trooper, as he was sitting there, you know, investigating the scene, he heard some loud noises in the woods, and he stayed there apparently for a few minutes, he and Mr. Pulaski, but then they started to hear some loud noises again, and eventually the state trooper and Mr. Pulaski got in the state trooper's car and sped off. And again, this is, you know, he had to document this. So again, that's, you know, just another official case as well. And then there are some close encounters as well. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, not to cut you off, but just about mm-hmm. that, why do you think that the government or, you know, I mean, these are, like you said, these are actual, like you mentioned, a state trooper, you know, a senator. Why are these events, or, and for the skeptics, we won't even call them events. We'll say, but why are these stories and these experiences of these people, you know, not making it, you know, finding the light of day? Why do you think that we haven't heard about this stuff on a large scale?
Well, there's probably a number of reasons, all leading to the same area, why people haven't heard about this. I mean, honestly, there's been people, you know, for years and years, some of high your reputation, you know, that have talked about seeing things in UFO sightings. I mean, you have, you know, Ronald Reagan, you know, there's, you know, evidence that, you know, in his, one of his speeches, he starts talking about, what if we, you know, were attacked by some outside force? Couldn't we all band together, you know? And everybody, you know, it's so funny that you can go on the web and go different places and everybody really knows what he was talking about. This is the president of the United States. But at the same time, this everything, you know, UFO phenomenon, you know, or I won't say phenomenon, but UFO sightings are treated as though, you know, they're not real and, you know, this is just, you know, someone's imagination, you know. But when you have government officials, a U.S. senator, you know, and the president of the United States making statements about UFOs, then, you know, who's fooling who? You know, I mean, in all honesty, you know, they know something that we don't know, or the people that don't believe don't know. You understand what I'm saying?
When you say the president, you know, can you elaborate on what exactly was the circumstances of the statement that he gave?
Well, in his speech, just going a little bit off of that, and people that look at that speech, they you know, people often make comments about the speech that Ronald Reagan made at that, you know, at that time that he was president, you know, about, you know, us being attacked by some outside, you know, force. But it's also, you know, documented, I believe as well, that, you know, Reagan, you know, had, you know, seen, you know, UFOs or UFO sightings, and that he was making a statement in his speech, you know, about, about the world, about us being attacked, you know, by an alien force. And again, you get into those movies, and not to, you know, go too far and tie those in, but look at, like, War of the Worlds. Well, what is that movie about, you know? And so you have to look at, well, what really is going on behind the scenes, and what really is the government, you know, and those others in the government trying to say and trying to tell us, you know? And what are they trying to, you know, get us to believe and also push upon us at the same time?
Yeah, it's definitely very, very interesting. It's, you know, I've in my own research, I've seen a lot of high-ranking, you know, officials in government, in, you know, in law enforcement, you know, discussing this stuff. But then, you know, when you see Dateline or you turn on CNN, I mean, these are things that are, you know, conspicuously just absent, you know, from these major news stories. So, and if, even when they do talk about it, it's spoken about in, like, the entertainment news. It's like, oh, there was an alien sighting here, you know, as if kind of downplaying it, you know, and causing people to, you know, be skeptical. So, and that's, but that's been, you know, how it's been throughout history. Let's talk about, go in a little bit more detail, and this is where it really gets interesting.
Right.
You know, a lot of these documented cases, and again, you guys can do your research, and, you know, I mean, it's tons of, matter of fact, also, if someone is listening right now, and they wanted to do a little bit of research, they wanted to look up some of these cases or just, you know, information in general, where could they go to as a start? Like, what, you know, what would you Google? What would you look up if you wanted to see some documented cases of alien sightings and stories of abduction?
If someone were looking to go to see documented cases of alien sightings, probably www.ufocasebook.com is a good place to go for actual, you know, just compilations of alien sightings and you know, abductions and documentation.
Good. Okay. That, and I would definitely encourage every, you know, anyone who's curious or really just in general just to be informed, you know, check out some of this stuff because the, you know, the information is good. It's good stuff. It's good information.
And I would definitely advise them as well, you know, Dadon, like when, you know, as the people are looking up this stuff, you know, like the website that I mentioned, that's a good place to go because some places you go, you look at, you know, UFO sightings and stuff, you get a whole bunch of other stuff. So if you want to, you know, really are interested, you know, in trying to find out more about that subject, that's a good place to start and probably mention some other places later as well.
Okay, cool. Now we talked a little bit about the government. We mentioned a few state troopers. You mentioned, you know, the president, you know, Ronald Reagan making, you know, doing a speech and discussing this. Let's talk a little bit more about the military, specifically the military branch of the government, and what role do they play? Because you would think that, you know, just with all the satellite technology, and if there are in fact and have been actual sightings, you know, things, you know, spacecrafts or airships of some sort coming into our airspace, you know, surely the military would be the first to, you know, to see that just from a defense standpoint. So what information is out there specifically regarding the military and their experience with things that are, you know, I guess not of Earth?
Well, I think you're, you know, in your statement, Dana, you said certainly the military would be the first to see it. Well, certainly you're probably right. Now, what does that say from there, even what we've been saying, you know, how it's handled? Over the years, there's actually been various reports. I mean various, numerous reports of alien sightings by high-ranking military officials. I'm talking about, general sergeants, you know, all the way up, you know, down. And so this is documented. Like I said, these things you can look up. You know, they've come out and talked about it, yet still the military's official, you know, stance on UFOs is that they do not exist. You know, that's the military's official stance.
What exactly is it? I mean, are there specific cases that you can touch on regarding the military and what they saw, what they've experienced, and statements that have been made that where would lead to the government still denying?
Well, but one major one, if you look at this case, on July 19th, 1952, okay, this occurred not just anywhere. This was at our nation's capital of Washington, D.C. And what happened was several UFOs were seen over the White House. And again, this is documented. And the unidentified flying objects, UFOs, let's just call them that, were captured on military radar. And they were actually captured traveling at speeds between about 100 and 7,000 miles per hour. Captured on radar doing that. And this was also confirmed by about another local radar in the area. But now you have, like I said, this is documented. You have hundreds of witnesses, that have, eyewitnesses that, saw the UFOs, and some may even have photographed them. But, this was like in an official statement. This was in the paper. This was official. It couldn't be hidden. So, I mean, either it was false or it was true, I mean, obviously you don't generally document stuff, dealing with the military, that's false. So let me just say that. But in any case, the official military statement about this occurrence, because many people saw this, they said that they had no evidence. This is what the military said, that they had no evidence that there were objects were flying, that they were flying saucers, those objects, and were not sure what they were. Now, mind you, again, these were, go ahead.
So they've confirmed that something was flying, but there's
they can't
confirm what it was.
What it was, right. However, apparently they, the reporters and other people did go to speak to some of the people that worked with the radar equipment. Military people carry out different positions of jobs. So, and apparently they told them there was nothing wrong with the equipment. What it was is what it was. What they had, caught by the radar, is what it was. They probably couldn't say too much. But at the same time, like I said, the official statement becomes, no, it was something there, but we can't say what it was. Like I said, but however, several reliable military people and pilots, you got to think about pilots that fly in the sky all the time, confirm what they saw.
Now, again, for someone listening in right now who's hearing this, they're saying, okay, I want to check that out. Where would they go to research that particular case that you just got finished speaking about?
They could easily find that on the UFOcasebook.com or just Google, probably UFO Nation's Capital, D.C. They could find it there, put in, UFO July 19th, 1952, comma, D.C. Any of those, specific words probably would bring that information up. Another place that they can go, and actually which is a extremely, extremely valuable tool that I've found in regards to UFO, cases, documentation, what's going on behind it, is a book called Exo Vaticana. Again, it's a book called Exo Vaticana, and it's by Tom Horn and Chris Putman are the authors. If you go to that book, there's so much a good amount, at least a chapter, dedicated to information on the military, on military, like I said, high-ranking officials giving their official statements that they've seen UFOs. You have governments from other countries. They go into information about that, what information they've disclosed and what they have. It's really deep. And there's some information they get to a point where they can't even give you all the information. So that's a really good book to find out about UFOs and government and military involvement with UFO sightings.
Wow. And I would encourage everyone to definitely, take advantage of that information, look it up, check it out. Whether you believe it, whether you don't, at least be informed about it, and so you can make your own decision. A lot of people I've come in contact with, funny, I was promoting this show, just putting an advertisement out, and a young woman said, you saw the ad, and she was like, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about, aliens or things not of this world. And I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, first of all, that's not true. But second of all, you might want to just listen in to hear what is actually said, or, So, a lot of people, they will, and have formed opinions prior to, doing any type of research, even reading the words. So I would encourage everyone just to, take advantage of this information, because it's definitely out there. You just have to look at it. In fact, speaking of which, we're actually about to get into a little bit deeper about what the word actually says, but this information, I wanted, we, you know, me and Osho talked about, like I said, how we wanted to present this. We want to take it step by step just to kind of, you know, let you understand exactly where we're coming from. And I wanted to throw out some documented cases so you can see and hear what's actually going on before we even got into what the word says about it. Also, speaking of those documented cases, okay, this is the next direction we want to go into. What, you know, if any, you know, things in common? Yeah, obviously, like I said, there's sightings, you know, of UFOs. There are people speaking of abductions, you know, having been abducted and coming back, you know, family members, friends, things like that. But something that people may not know is that just about all of these stories, these experiences, these documented cases all have something in common or several things in common amongst them. What is it that these sightings and specifically abductions, hundreds of stories, all have in common? What is that?
Well, now when you look at the abductions, several things that the abductions have in common. One, and this is, you know, probably the most interesting one or important one, many abductees, and most abductees actually, report that they are sexually stimulated by aliens. This is a report of most abductees, again, that they're sexually stimulated by aliens or actually forced to have sex with humans or other creatures, other alien-like creatures. So that's one. That's a high one
to
note.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. Let's just take it slow, because people were listening. Like, whoa, they were falling asleep. They were watching the, you know, multitasking, watching Love and Hip Hop or something. Let's you know, they're like, mm-hmm. Whoa, hold on. What did he just say? You're saying
right.
that, just so we're clear,
right?
The hundreds of documented cases of alien abductions that people all over the world have submitted, they all have one thing in common. They're all pretty much saying that in some way they were either sexually stimulated by these aliens during the abduction or actually forced to have sex with aliens in while they were gone. That's what you're saying?
Right. I mean, really, you could honestly kind of look at it like being sexually assaulted in a way. I mean, that's what we would, you know, call it if you're, you know, forced to do something against your will, right? Then it becomes like an assault, you know, it becomes harassment. But in any case, that's exactly what I'm saying. Most abduction cases, the abductees report that they have been sexually, you know, stimulated, aroused, and some, you know, touched in some form or fashion sexually. And again, you know, forced to have sex with other human beings and with other alien-like creatures.
Let me just stop for a second. And again, and like I said, we're doing this in order, in a very specific order, for a reason. Again, and this is something that you guys can look up and research on your own, alien sightings, alien abductions, you know, and you'll see what exactly was said. You can read the transcripts of what was said, what was documented by these people who are claiming these things. But if hundreds and thousands of people are all saying the same thing happened. It's not like they're saying, okay, they took us, and they beamed us up, and they all made us, you know, play Yahtzee and, you know, do jumping jacks. And no, they're all saying the same things, you know, from a sexual standpoint. And I'm not, you know, I've never been abducted, so I can't say that's true or not true, but it's notable that everyone is saying the same type of thing. And so if you look at, like we talked about earlier, we want to make the connection that it's not a coincidence that we're seeing, again, guys, this stuff is being thrown down our throats, I mean, pushed down our throats, the most successful, you know, non-action, you know, franchise, love story, you know, of all time, you guys know, it's Twilight. You understand? This is about, you know, vampires. You know, at one time, the most successful, you know, movie of all time, for a long time, was E.T., you know, and still is revered as a classic of all time. You know, Independence Day is what, you know, so I'm just saying that these are things that Hollywood is picking up on and has been for a long time, but specifically, and even, you know, Superman and Lois Lane, you know, Twilight, you know, Warm Bodies, this new thing. What's that other thing? Beautiful Creatures. They're focusing now, so not just about, okay, there are aliens out there. We get that. They're you know, they're done with that. Not done with it, but that's been, you know, they've made their point. Now they're trying to take it to the next level from a biblical standpoint, which we're about to get into, that there's a sexual, there's like this sexual tension between aliens and humans. I mean, also, have you seen the connection that between all of these documented cases and what Hollywood is doing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as you said, Dadon, I mean, you see things on TV, like I said, and talked about the man in the moon. We say, oh, that, you know, that's you know, interesting, that's funny, or, you know, that's, you know, make-believe. But, you know, again, like I said, you have all these people across the country talking about, you know, that they're forced to have sex, talking about, you know, sperm and eggs being taken. I mean, this is, you know, these are people all different nationalities, all different religious backgrounds, beliefs.
Elaborate on that a little bit. You're saying these – explain a little bit more about what they're saying as far as sperm was taken. Like, what are they saying was actually happening as far as – I mean, you know, we're going to keep it real tonight. Like, what are they saying was done to them from a sexual standpoint?
Basically, Dana, like I said, the people are saying that they're being stimulated to a point in which, you know – you know, like I said, for the male, they're being stimulated to a point where they, you know, they basically they ejaculate, you know, to keep it real, and that these beings are, you know, collecting sperm from them. Now, again, you have people all different types of backgrounds saying that this occurs. It almost becomes, in the story of these reportings of abductions, though, as an afterthought. It almost becomes like a side note, when I really believe that I think it should be the most important thing noted in the abduction experience. Even women, you know, are saying that, you know, they're having metal objects stuck, you know, in their vaginal area. Again, this is, you can look, I mean, this is all over the internet, you can look it up. But they're saying that they're having objects stuck in their, you know, vaginal area. You men and women report, you know, you hear about the alien probe and it always sounds like a joke. You know, they always make jokes about it in the movies and things like that. But for real, you know, in reality, people are saying that they're having, you know, metal probe-like objects stuck in their rectum, up their rectum. Just different things that would be considered, you know, like I said, you know, an assault. But basically, like I said, the important thing, what they're saying from the simulation is that at the point, you know, which this occurs, or at the point at the peak, that's when, you know, sperm is being removed from males and also eggs from females, from women. And if anyone wants to investigate that further, you can actually see cases of miscarriages in pregnant mothers in relationship to UFO abductions. Again, that's miscarriages and pregnant mothers in relationship to UFO abductions. And you'll see some very, you know, interesting, shocking, you know, scary kind of things. Interesting, yeah.
Absolutely. This is deep stuff, guys. Understand, if you're just joining us this evening, we're joined by Minister Osho High, who has become passionate over the last several years about researching things of the extraterrestrial from a biblical standpoint, which we haven't even really began to touch on yet, which we're really about to dive into the word and what, you know, how this all ties into Satan's plan, you know, demons, you know, even fallen angels and things of that nature. Definitely about to get into that in the second, you know, part of this show. But just understand this information is out there. These are not, you know, it's not a coincidence that everyone's saying, hey, look, you know, we were all, you know, the people who claim to be, have been abducted, they're not just saying, oh, yeah, I saw a white light. They're all, it's very specific. And a matter of fact, Osho, and we even talked earlier about, it's not just from, I mean, there's that, there definitely is the sexual aspect of things, but you also said that, and I've even seen in my own research, that it's not just the sex and it's not just the abduction, but these people, a lot of times, are able to, you know, recall actual uniforms and even emblems that are seen on these, the outfits and the uniforms of these beings. What have you seen? What can you let the people know about from a physical nature? What these people look like?
Well, the alien, right, quote unquote alien creatures. Well, you know, you have the you know, and they're actually, probably a lot of people don't know as well, people have encountered what they say is more than one type of alien creature. The most, you know, famous one is always shown kind of gray with large eyes. There are actually several other, sex, or species, so to speak, of aliens that people say that they encounter. Some of which, interestingly enough, look very human. So a lot of people probably don't realize that as well. But in a lot of cases, and this is, you know, documented from early on, the alien beings are known to wear uniforms. You know, just like, kind of like the ones you see in Star Trek, to be quite honest. They're known to wear uniforms just like Star Trek. The people in Star Trek have an emblem. Most of the aliens, beings that people encounter have an emblem. There's one alien, you know, quote unquote, alien race that's known as the Nordic, which is actually tall, looks, you know, Caucasian, blonde hair, blue eye, and this is, you again, this is something you can easily look up. But they're, most of the emblem that they, I believe they're known to wear is like a double-headed hawk. That's the type of emblem they have. The gray, you know, alien, quote unquote, alien creatures, they're called the gray beings, they sport, so if you want to say, an emblem with a snake with wings on it. And then there is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, just so we're clear, the reason you're getting that information is from multiple hundreds of people all describing the same exact type of uniform and emblem. That's amazing.
Right. Yeah,
I want everyone to take a pause and just understand what you're hearing. This is not imagine something that no one has seen before. You know, this is something brand new. It's something, you know, out of the, you know, if there, imagine you, something happened to you that you thought you were the only person to ever experience that. People just like you and me have reported this stuff to the police, you know, documented these things and said, okay, well, all right, so what did you experience? They're saying, well, this is what I saw. Now imagine hundreds and thousands of other people who all thought that they were, you know, this just happened to them, all describing the same thing or something extremely similar. And that's what you have here. And I would will continue to reiterate, you know, definitely don't take our words for this. Research is, we're not here to convince. We're here to just inform and introduce, like I said, just this information and encourage you guys to do your own research and develop a, you know, have an informed opinion. Let's talk a little bit more about aliens. Okay, because we're going to talk about some other things like giants and specifically what the word says about giants. We all know that there are giants, you know, in the Bible. But I want to, before we get off aliens, you know, alien life forms, Osho, in your own words, because we're going to talk about what, you know, from a biblical standpoint, but just from you, you know, what do you think? If somebody said, okay, what are aliens? What do you think aliens are? Are they actual beings from other planets? Are they monsters? Are they, like, you know, psychos? I mean, like, what are aliens? Are they demons? Like, what, in your own words, if someone asked you that question, what is an alien, what would you say to them?
Well, just, you know, I don't believe that if you, you know, a direct question that they're beings from, I'll say this, I don't believe that they're beings that originated from another planet. Let me clarify that and make that very clear. I don't think that they are beings that originated from another planet, which most people believe that aliens, that's where they come from, you know, some other planet, and that's where, you know, they started from, and, you know, that's where they had their civilization and all that, and, you know, they came here. You know, some people even believe that, you know, aliens place us here. That's a popular belief among, you know, some people in science circles, and also some atheists, or, you know, people that don't necessarily believe in God. As I stated, you know, many people believe that aliens come from other planets like Mars, Jupiter, and, you know, Venus and Pluto and things like that. And this is actually what the alien beings, you know, tell those people that they abduct. You know, they tell them that, you know, we come from this planet, Venus or Mars or a certain planet. And that's what they tell them. They pose as basically an ancient, you know, race of beings who's seeking to help seeking to help mankind basically ascend to the next level. that can be starts to be a popular term among extraterrestrial or aliens as well. Now, I believe there may be some truth in the fact that aliens are, in fact, an ancient civilization or may have been around for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, I think that's why archaeologists keep finding different things like artifacts in civilizations hundreds of thousands of years ago that are out of place. And if anyone wasn't aware of that, you can actually look that up as well. They can't make out where these things came from because it seems like they shouldn't be in that certain time period. You know, and like I said, they may have, you know, possibly walked on other planets, but I don't believe that's where they originated from. And so, you know, there's actually even an ancient Sumerian text which gets into the quotes that the gods from above, you know, saying they came from other planets. I mean, this is, a text that's hundreds of thousands of years old. But what I believe is, and this is the key point and the key thing for all the listeners, the differences that these, you know, aliens from above that came down did not bother to tell the people of that culture in that time that they were created beings as well that had been fallen or that fell or were kicked out from their realm of origin,
which was
beyond the planets and the stars.
So are you saying that aliens are beings that were similar to what the Bible refers to as fallen angels?
Yes. Yeah, I would say so. When you have to look at the context of it, you know, people say, you know, that the aliens, they talk about they've been from other planets and things like that. Well, even when you look in the Bible, when it says, in the beginning, God, you know, made the heavens and the earth. Well, God made the heavens, and then you have to look at and take into consideration, well, how much time was in between there when he made the heavens and he made the earth? And that's something that we don't think about as well. And some people that, you know, not to get too deep into it, but that are more versed with the Bible may know about, you know, the rebellion of Satan and him being a fallen angel and taking a third of the stars with him, as it talks about in the book of Revelation. But we don't sometimes look at that or say, okay, sometimes even as Christians or people, we look at, oh, Satan's not real, or we don't imagine that, but he is very real. That's why the Bible talks about him. So what is he doing at this period of time? You know, what is he going around doing? Well, he's trying to deceive the world.
Right. And I would encourage everyone to really read the word specifically around the time that speaks about, you know, who Satan is, who Satan was, you know, when he was, you know, with God and, you know, serving God and, you know, what led to him being kicked out and, you know, of heaven and just the effect of that, and, you know, and things that were spoken about his plan for God's people, you know, as a result, you know. And so, I mean, this stuff is well documented all throughout the Bible. So, in fact, Osher, what would you say about, I mean, can you elaborate on that a little bit more for people who may not be? Because we don't want to assume tonight that everyone is even a Christian or everyone is, you know, well-versed in the Bible. You know, just for the people who may not be as familiar, you know, who, and just brief, I mean, we don't want to do a whole, you know, Bible study on the devil, but, you know, in a nutshell, what is a fallen angel? I mean, explain why people refer to Satan himself as a fallen angel, as, you know, someone who used to be with God, you know, briefly for people who just may not be familiar, and even other angels who, you know, fell.
Right. Well, even when you get into the Bible, like you said, I mean, most people you may or may not be versed, but you know, the Bible makes different inferences and talks about Satan, and generally referring to him as the anointed cherub who covered. Even when you get into the book of Ezekiel, there's a very interesting quote, which I'll read for you in just a moment, you know, which kind of talks about Satan. There are also, you know, he's also referred to as a serpent oftentimes in the Bible, you know, because it's kind of his nature, slithery, deceptive. That was Satan's nature. And most, you know, people that, you know, read the Bible or, you know, biblical scholars, you know, recognize and understand that, you know, Satan was an angel, you know, with God. We see angels throughout the Bible, but generally the angels that we usually see throughout the Bible that are referred to as angels are those doing the will of God. There was the angel who came to Mary and told her that, you know, she would conceive, a child would be born, his name would be Emmanuel. You know, she should call him Jesus. And then we see, you know, angels, with the shepherds saying that, you know, the child has come, Savior is coming, you know, to save the people. But we don't, you know, often see or hear about as much the, you know, the angels that fell until really you get to the book of Revelations where John, you know, writes about Revelations, and he talks about what he saw, that he saw, you know, a dragon in the sky, you know. And he talks about a battle that ensued and how the dragon was cast down. And a lot of people that are Christians, when you know, do further reading and research, understand that, the dragon, Satan is often referred to as a serpent or a dragon in the Bible. That is his persona, you know, because he's wicked. That's what he is. And that he was cast out of heaven. And it talks about Michael and his angels, you know, the angels that were with Michael, being led by Michael at that point in time, right then, you know, fighting against Satan and his angels. And that's documented in the book of Revelation. So that's where we get a snapshot of the war that took place in heaven. But this war didn't, you know, initially take place in the book of Revelations. The book of Revelation actually reaches forward to give us prophecy about what's going to happen in end time. But in the midst of that, John also goes into about, you know, the dragon and about Satan and the battle in heaven that took place before our time. So, you know, that's where you get an understanding, a snapshot of a little bit of who Satan is and the fact that he actually was cast down to the earth in that battle. And the Bible says he took one-third of the stars with him. Well, the stars, when you look those up in the Bible and other places, stars are also metaphorical or a metaphor often for angels. So it talks about a lot of times sometimes the fallen stars, you know, referring to angels. And just to read a little bit about Ezekiel and you know, 28, when we look at the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, I just want to read a little bit of that 13, because this is actually referring to Satan. And I'll start at 13. It says, "You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created." Oftentimes you will hear in the church people refer to that Satan more than likely was the angel of worship in heaven. The fact that it's referring to here that within his very body may have in fact been pipes and timbrels to make music. Now look at our music today and see where it is in hip-hop, and there are certain things like that. So he may have very well had a hand, you know, in that, and, you know, even with music in the beginning. So, you know, it would be no wonder after he fell that you would see so much, you know, going on in our music that's not of God or not good. But anyway, it says, "You were prepared for you on the day you were created." Notice it says that Satan was created. A lot of people, you know, that are into Satanism and other things seek to worship Satan, but he's actually a created being. Verse 14 says, "You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you." This is God talking. "You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones." You put a pinpoint there. A lot of people actually, when you talk to nowadays, will look at the fiery stones. Well, what are those? And a lot of people actually say, well, you have to look at certain planets is what they're actually talking about here. Fiery stones like Saturn, you know, different planets, Mars, Venus. "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned." A lot of people don't know that Satan was the first one who sinned, even before Adam and Eve. Satan committed the original sin. And then he went down, of course, the story, you know, to deceive Adam and Eve, to get them to sin, to get mankind to sin. But he was the original one who sinned, and it says here, "By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence." So it was about greed. It was about power. And when you look at that verse there, it says, "Therefore," this is very important, "I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones." So he was kicked out, not only of heaven, but away. If the fiery stones are referring, you know, as I said, a lot of people look at that, what is he referring to? Planets, Saturn, Mars, Jupiter, out of that, away from there, as well. So we see here that, you know, like I said, by that he had sinned and he was kicked out. And we're talking about, you know, fallen angels. We're talking about Satan. Well, Satan didn't just fall by himself. Notice it says by the abundance of your trading. Who do you trade with? You can't trade with someone unless there's someone else to trade with. That speaks of civilization. That speaks of culture. Trading speaks of economics, money, dollars. That's what it speaks of, economy. So we're talking about a civilization here in this one little scripture right here. That's why I love the Bible. We're talking about civilization and talking about Satan, a certain control or power that he had there that was taken away, at least at that point, and God kicked him out. It says, because your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. And it says, you defile your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you and turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. Well, when Satan was thrown to the earth, who was all who saw him? Remember, this is something that happened pre the, you know, the Satan's rebellion and casting down the earth is something that happened before, pre-man, pre-Adam and Eve. That's why you have, when the Garden of Eden, garden is created and Adam and Eve are created, mankind, being actual mankind, just like you and I, the beginning of mankind, that's why you have the Satan, the serpent, excuse me, or snake that comes in, and Satan influences the serpent to deceive Eve. And uses the serpent to deceive Eve. But he was cast down to the earth before that by God.
Wow, this is, guys, you know, you see me. It's very infrequently that you guys hear me just being silent. But just like you guys are listening and learning, I'm listening and learning myself. Because this is, I mean, this everything that he said is 100% true. This is stuff I've researched. This is stuff that you should research. If you guys are well-versed in the Bible, you already know this stuff from yourself. Nothing is that has been said tonight is not, you know, of God or, you know, not in the Bible, and everything can be looked up. So you spoke in great detail, and I appreciate that, about what was going on prior to Adam and Eve. What does, and this is where I want to tie it in, to things of the supernatural. You touched on it, but many of the fallen stars that Satan took down with him when he came, you know, were actual angels. So let's, you know, like you said, in a metaphorical type of way, what does the Bible, what would you say that the Bible actually says, how does it make, where's the connection there? How, because, you know, a lot of people are tuned in specifically for the answer to this question. What does the Bible say about, you know, the connection between aliens? I know we talked a lot about the Book of Enoch, which we'll get into in a little bit, but how would you answer that question? Like, as far as, you know, you said what you thought the aliens were earlier, but what does the Bible say aliens are?
Well, when you look at what the Bible says, what aliens are, Dadan, you have to look at, you know, a few things, and I think that was a very important one to look at. If anyone read that scripture, Ezekiel 28, chapter 28, verse 13 through 18. And because you even have, you know, looking at the fiery stones, which I talked about being the planets, Saturn, Venus, stars, because we have to remember that God created the universe. God created Earth. He created the universe, though. And he also created angels who were in heaven. So, you know, like I said, we took a look at Satan walking in the midst of the fiery stones here. What you also have to look at about what the Bible says that aliens are is what have aliens been known to do? What have aliens been known to do? We talked about just a little earlier that they've been known to do experimentation, collect sperm and eggs. That's what they've been doing. Again, that's what this is what thousands and thousands upon people have reported that the aliens have done to them. Also, they've been known to cohabitate or sleep with human beings. They've also been known to sleep with human beings. That's what aliens have been known to do. Very interesting. You have to go to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2, verse 42 through 43. The book of Daniel chapter 2, 42, 43. And it says in the book of Daniel, and the Daniel is a very, it's a good, important to understand for those who are not as familiar. Daniel had a vision. He was given a vision by God of things that would occur in the kingdoms in the last days. And it says in the book, so it's a prophetic book. In certain parts of Daniel are prophetic. It says Daniel chapter 2, verse 42 through 43, and the fourth kingdom, that's important to take note of, and the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Now, listen to this, verse 41. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. Now, notice we're talking about two separate things here, two separate substances. We're talking about potter's clay, and we're talking about iron, which are separate, two separate substances. Then it says in verse 42, and this is the pinpoint here, and as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, two different substances, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. 43, as you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men. Now, I want to pause that right there because, again, I said this is a prophetic book which talks about the end times. So Daniel, in the book of Daniel chapter 2, in these verses here, he's talking about the last kingdom that would come upon the earth. He says, and you saw iron mixed with ceramic, two separate substances. They will mingle with the seed of men. But they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. Again, we have the two substances that do not mix. Daniel refers to they mixing with the, or mingling with the seed of men. A very important point is that he's talking about men. Men is referring to human beings, mankind. They will mingle with the seed of men. He would not have called them they. He would have just said men would mingle with the seed of men if they were of the same being. If who they were was a human being, then that's who they would have been referred to. But right here, he's drawing a distinction and saying they will mingle with the seed of men, being that he's referring to a being or species which is not of man, which is not mankind, which is not human being. And this very scripture talks about the final kingdom being the final kingdom upon the earth. So who is mixing with the seed of men? What do we see aliens doing? I think we said earlier, cohabitating with human beings.
Having sex with human beings.
Yes, having sex with human beings will mingle with the seed of men, collecting sperm and eggs. So, you know, you have to look at yourself, look at these. Are aliens' actions good or are they bad? There's so many people who say, the aliens tell us that, you know, they're here to make us better. They're here to save the world. You know, well, what I always say is not watch what people do, not what they say. That's what a wise person does. It's like what your grandmother would tell you. Watch what people do, not what they say. And so, you know, people have had all these things, you know, reports of the aliens telling them that they want to stop nuclear war and they want mankind, they want to end all disease and all pain. But what they do is sexually manipulate human beings, having sex with human beings, forcing human beings to have sex with other people. So, you know, while the aliens say they help people and give them some knowledge of future events, which they tell them some things that might happen in the future, is kind of like a psychic or a soothsayer, right? Tell you a little bit of something to draw you in. However, people, non-Christians, you know, these are non-Christians, have reported that aliens also seem cold, as if they have no emotion or concern for humans as people. Again, these are people, all different backgrounds, say this. That they subject them to physical testing, which can be painful, that some people have screamed out in pain, and that at times it seems as if they want to suck or rip out their souls. These are things that are being said, and again, you can look this up. This has been said by people that are non-Christians, some people that probably don't even believe in a soul, that we have a soul, but yet they report that that's what the aliens' actions, how they make them feel. You know, Even, you know, Whitley Strieber, one of the most, you know, famous UFO authors, wrote a book called Communion. You know, he said that when he originally encountered the aliens, he said he could feel the presence of evil in one of his works. He said he knew they were evil. He said, I felt an indescribable sense of menace. These are his own words. He's not a Christian. He said it was hell on earth to be there, and yet I couldn't move. I couldn't cry out. And I couldn't get away. He said whatever was there seemed so monstrously ugly, so filthy, and dark and sinister. And these are
the things I wanted. Osho, one of the things I'd like to do is just take a quick pause just to, you know, because you're giving some excellent, excellent information. I think it's important to a lot of people tuned in, I guess, expecting a very clear and concise, although I believe if you're familiar with the Bible, you have received that clear and concise answer. But if you are not familiar with the Bible and you're not as, you know, well-versed in what it says, you, as we said, we did it in this order because you have to understand what is being said about these aliens. What are aliens? What have they been known to do, as Osho said? What have these documented cases, thousands, all said that they were doing? And that's when the sexual nature of it comes into play. So then you really have to take a look at what the Bible says about things not of, as Osho said, and what the Bible says of mankind. You know, man's seed. Like, what are they doing? You know, and that, and who is they? One of the things I want to ask you, Osho, you know, it's important to take a look at. You mentioned the original sin, which was not of Adam and Eve, but of Satan himself, which caused him to be cast down. Let's talk a little bit, though, specifically about the origin, or about Adam, the sin of Adam and Eve, you know, eating of the tree of knowledge. How does that play into everything? What effect does the Adam and Eve sin have on, and relate? How does that relate to aliens and, you know, things of that nature?
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely, Didon. So to get right into that, you know, with aliens, like I was saying, the bottom line is their actions do not line up with their words. And I'm going to get into the story of someone else whose actions did not line up with their words. And I think that will help to draw the tie-in and correlation. You have a little bit of truth mixed with a lie, similar to the serpent in the garden with Adam and Eve. They give you a little bit of truth but mix it with lies. So when you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 2 through 5, in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 2 through 5, and this is where we have the deception that was brought upon Adam and Eve. It says, and it reads in that chapter and verse, "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Just to set up a little backdrop, what had happened was, of course, God had told Adam to take care of the garden. He told him he could eat of any fruit except for the fruit which was in the midst of the garden, which was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told Adam that he could not eat from that. So the serpent one day came along to Eve, who was Adam's wife, who God had created for Adam out of his rib, and this is in the Bible, and the serpent beguiled to try to trick, or did trick Eve, and said that, did God really tell you that you couldn't eat from the fruit that, you know, in the midst of the garden, that you would surely die? And so you have Eve here talking to the serpent, or answering the serpent, and telling him, well, this is what God did tell us, that we can eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden except for that one. So in verse 4 in chapter 3, it says, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" And for those of you unfamiliar with the story of Adam and Eve, what happens is the serpent tells Eve this. Eve eats of the fruit in the midst of the garden. She gives Adam. Adam eats of the fruit in the midst of the garden. And they both saw that they were naked. Their eyes were open to some things, but the point was, not only that, the serpent told them, here's the lie in it. He told them some things, but the lie was that they would not die. Not only did Adam and Eve die physically, but they also experienced and were faced to experience a spiritual death, which was separation from God, which was separation from fellowship with God. And that's, as human beings, where we are when we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're spiritually dead. That's what it says in the Bible. We're separated from God, our Creator. And so what the serpent did was beguile them and set them up. So he told them, oh, you won't die. And not only did they die eventually physically, they also died spiritually, which was worse. But he lied to them at any point. So the serpent lied by twisting the truth. Yeah,
so
they would know some things. Go ahead.
But let's skip a little ahead to Genesis 3:14-15. Because I think that most people, I mean, definitely some people are not going to be familiar with the story of Adam and Eve. I think most people who are tuned into tonight's show probably are. I want to skip ahead to some things that they may not be familiar with, which is the effect, the immediate effect. You mentioned they died physically as well as spiritually, but let's look a little bit deeper at what Genesis 3 says in regards to the punishment that he not only gave Adam and Eve, but the punishment to the serpent.
Sure. So when we look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, and this is due to the original sin, or I should say the sin of Adam and Eve eating the tree of knowledge, this caused God to curse Adam and Eve. Like you said, not only did he curse Adam and Eve, he cursed the serpent, he cursed the ground. I mean, you know, it was his curse because they had, you know, done the opposite of what God had told them to do. So verse 14 of Genesis 3 says, so the Lord God said to the serpent, and this is when God gets to talking to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Now here's the pinpoint. Here's the important part. So watch this. Verse 15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise
okay,
your
hold,
head.
Oh, let's hold a pause right there for a second. Mm-hmm. This is, all right, guys, listen up. This is where it gets real. This is where it gets, you know, really where the connection is, or one of the connections. We really got to connect the dots here, because this is what, you know, what we've been leading up to. Understand, Genesis 3:14-15, we're talking about the sin of Adam and Eve and the effect that that has on them, you know, or on mankind as a whole. And the devil, Satan himself, Adam and Eve, and just the world itself, but specifically the serpent, was cursed. You know, and he just read, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. Now, that's the serpent. Now, as far as you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Well, your seed and her, he's talking to the serpent. So, Osho, explain a little bit about what does this mean? Who exactly is the seed of Satan? We know who the seed of Adam and Eve are. You know, that's us. But who's the seed of Satan? What does that mean? Who are his offspring?
Right, right. And you know, like you said, Dadan, that's the pinpoint between – seed means – it talks about offspring, children, just like you said. A seed is something that's born. So, you know, sometimes you have to look at that. Like you said, we're the offspring of Adam and Eve, so who is Satan's offspring? Well, who was Satan's offspring? Well, in order to understand that, or where we get the answer to that, is that we go back to the Bible. In the Bible, it speaks about angels, fallen angels, having sex with humans. You know, so if you look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, it says here, and this is an important point, it says, now, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Now, that's you. If you stick a pinpoint right there, we're just talking about the the angels and having sex with which is interesting because most people we don't even realize that that's in the Bible, but having sex with the sons, the daughters rather, of men. Now, when you go a little further from there, beyond verse 4, here's where, or getting into verse 4, I should say, here's where it gets very interesting. And what it says there, even going into verse 3, it rather says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." Now, verse 4, listen to this one very carefully. This is in the Bible. Verse 4, chapter 6 of Genesis. "There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown."
Let's just make sure everyone is caught up. Do you understand what we're saying here? Do you understand what the word is saying here? The Bible. Understand, guys, Satan's offspring, you understand, and this is documented in the word, had sex, came to earth and had sex with humans, and they produced children. That's what, you understand that? And so we have to look at, on one hand, what that means for mankind. And the, offspring of Satan, we are now mixed with evil. Good is now officially and formally mixed with evil. But then if, as we were talking about earlier on, I told you guys to put a little check mark what we were talking about as far as what Hollywood is doing out here. So understand, what the Bible clearly documents Satan's offspring having sex and procreating with humans. Well, what are we seeing out here? What was the last Twilight about? What are, what are a lot of these other movies about as far as, people falling in love? What was Superman about, the first Superman movie? Lois, Superman, who is an alien, having sex with Lois Lane, and having a baby. These are things that are, Hollywood has taken interest in, but it all originates from the Word of God. So I just wanted to, I'm gonna make the connection. I'm gonna leave it to Osho because he knows this stuff backwards and forwards as far as what the word says. But I just wanted to kind of let you guys see the connection as far as what's going on out here on a large scale. But go ahead, Osho, finish that off, because this is crazy stuff right here. Satan's offspring had sex with humans.
Right. So basically, the fallen, the angels. And I'll just say angels that left their first abode, left where they originally from, came down in Genesis chapter 6, is documented, and had sex with the daughters of men. And so, there you have giants, and in some Bibles it says the Nephilim, which means the fallen, were on the earth in those days. But notice it says, and also afterward. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But perhaps if you think this was, okay, maybe that was just a misunderstanding for somehow or another in the Bible. When we look at Jude chapter 1, verse 5, Jude chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." Verse 6, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." So look at that, like Dadan said, pause right there. "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their abode." What we have in Genesis chapter 6, the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their abode. And we'll get a little more into that later. It talks about some that were in everlasting chains, another book, and some that were not. But as in verse 7 of that same scripture, Jude, it says, "As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these," and Sodom and Gomorrah gave themselves over to sexual sin, "having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh,
are set forth as an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, what happens in Sodom and Gomorrah, and Jude draws this correlation, is that they were practicing homosexuality. That's what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jude compares these angels that have left their first abode, being heaven, and gone to the earth to have sex with the daughters of men. Remember, the two seeds, they mingling with the seed of men, but they are not the same substance. Just the same as in Sodom and Gomorrah, when you have, you know, that sin of homosexuality, man with man, woman with woman. And he says, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh.
Now, hold on, let me just interject right there real quick. Understand what that means, guys. It's not just, there's a reason why in the book of Jude it brings it back to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, because he's saying just like as sinful, because it wasn't just homosexuality, it was all types of stuff going on, all types
right,
of crazy
right.
stuff going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. But because, and he's just using, that is like the most well-documented and most like craziest sexual stuff that's, you know, is known, you know, in history. So that, and he's saying just like in that story, in that situation, the same type of craziness was going on as far as sexual immorality and had gone after strange flesh. Well, what does that even mean? Osho, what is strange? What was strange about them? Why was it its flesh, but it was a different type of flesh? I mean, it should be clear, but I just want to make sure that the people get that. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, you know, again, when you look at the Bible, and like we said, you know, it says strange flesh. Well, you know, when you look at angels, they're, you know, for one type of being, and human beings are another type of being. Even when God, you know, originally created, you know, the Garden of Eden and everything there, God, it talks about him, you know, placing the animals, you know, God creating the animals and the beasts of the field. And it talks about God creating each animal after its own kind. You know, if you look in the beginning of the Bible, it's very interesting that God, you know, just seems to distinctly make that statement. You know, as a matter of fact, we look at Genesis 1, and you go into chapter 20, for instance. It says, "And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." It says 21, "So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living moving thing with which the water teems according to their kinds." And some Bible verses say according to their own kinds. Listen, "and every winged bird according to its kind." And it says, "and God saw that it was good." There's specifically several scriptures in the beginning of Genesis where God distinctly says that he created this creature after its kind and that creature after its own kind. So what happens is an angel is a kind of being, one kind of being. A human being is a different kind of being. Just like with the sexual immorality that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, well, you know, God intended, just like in the beginning, Adam, you know, and Eve to be together, man and woman. So you have, that's why it's related to, or, you know, there's a correlation drawn to strange flesh, you know, which it kind of gets into actually in the book of Romans chapter 1 as well, 22 and 32. It gets into why, you know, God, you know, why people went after, you know, man after man and woman after woman, what happened that caused them to do that, and why God, you know, after they sort of turned their back or turned away from him, how that all comes into play, that they fell into the sin of sexual immorality. So God intends, you know, man and woman is, you know, the flesh that to be together, basically, but he's saying, Jude is saying here, hey, but Sodom and Gomorrah, they went after strange flesh, just like the angels, you know, went after strange flesh when they slept with the daughters of man.
This is very interesting stuff. And like you said, you know, there was a time when I didn't even realize that anything like this was even in the Bible, as far as, you know, angels having sex with you know, people of our kind. But it's definitely, you know, it's in there, and that's why reading is, you know, is essential, and knowing the word is essential. Let's talk a little bit more about, because you touched on it, but I want to make sure people understand, you know, because we talked about the children, you know, if you will, of that union between the fallen angels and the humans produced what are known as giants. You mentioned, am I pronouncing it, the Nephilim?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Explain a little bit more about that, because a lot of times people, I mean, when you think of aliens or demons or, you know, UFOs or giants and different things, you're thinking of some type of fantasy, but even more so than the extraterrestrial, I mean, that's, you got to do a little bit of connecting the dots to see that, but giants is something that is almost, you know, it's clearly, it's like right there in your face. Talk about the Nephilim, talk about, you know, what exactly giants are and just where they originated from, and where they originated from.
Well, you know, you have to, you know, like for the listeners out there, a lot of people may be saying, well, saying they're Christians, and you know, I just read to you where it says in the Bible that there were giants on earth in those days. And you may say, well, I don't know if I really believe in giants. Well, we all know the famous story about David and Goliath. That's one of the most famous, you know, Christian, you know, the story of David and Goliath in the Bible, and what happened there is one of the most, you know, it was well known throughout, you know, Christian culture. It's well known by people that aren't necessarily Christians. So what was Goliath? Goliath was a giant. So if you look at the book of Numbers, you know, Numbers 13, you know, 31 through 33, it says, and this is just to and drawing the correlation about giants mentioned in the Bible, it says, then the children of Israel say, but the men, and this is when the children of Israel were supposed to take over the land of Canaan, but they were disobedient and did not do what God told them to do. They came back and brought a bad report, most of them. It says, verse 31 of Numbers 13, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. Very interesting. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Now notice verse 33. They say, there we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So, you know, you have, like I said, you know, mentioning here of giants in the Bible. You have Goliath, which it talks about in 1 Samuel, you know, 17, 4 through 8, how he was a great champion of the Philistines, you know, and his name was Goliath, and he was from Gath. His height was 6 cubits and a span. You know, basically, Goliath was about 9 feet tall, somewhere right around there. He was a giant. You know, the tallest basketball player now is 7 foot something, you know, generally. You have to understand, but he wasn't just, like, tall and skinny. I mean, he was tall and massive. He was a giant, for real. His staff was, it says his staff was his spear was like a weaver's beam. That's thick. And the iron on his spear weighed 600 shekels. And his shield bearer, the shield would have been bigger than the person that carried it for him. He was a giant. That's exactly what it was. And even, you know, when we get into the Bible, there's many mentions of giants. 1 Samuel 21:19, Goliath's brother. David actually fought Goliath's brother. Notice that Goliath's brother was a giant, it talks about there. He had 6 fingers and 6 toes. When you go throughout culture and history in different places, you'll see statues of these huge figures with 6 fingers and 6 toes. Again, you can look this up. And this is throughout all different types, all different cultures. You know, and even there was a land of giants, and there were many different tribes of giants. That's what a lot of people don't know as well. There wasn't just one group of giants. I mean, there were giants of the Anakim, Zamzumim, the Ammonites. We're also a tribe of giants. So we, you know, there's so much culturally that we don't even understand about the Bible. But see, then we think of these things as being fairy tale, you know, perhaps data on. We look at, you know, interestingly enough, Greek culture, Roman mythology, that's what it's called, mythology, where there are giants. If you look at these people's cultures and their history and the stories, there are giants in, you know, in these cultures. Now, we're talking about all across the board, from European culture to Aborigine culture to Greek, Roman, and Native American. They all speak of giants.
Right. That's amazing. That's amazing. I think that when people, you know, they look at, you know, giants, they look at these stories, Jack the Giant Slayer, you know, David, they think of it as some type of fairy tale. But this is as biblical as Adam and Eve as anything, you know. But I think it's just we need to make sure that people understand where these giants originated from. They came from the union of you know, the descendants of Satan and humans, right? Am I correct in saying that?
No, you're absolutely correct.
Man, this is deep stuff right here. So I just want to, you know, I would encourage everybody to just watch, you know, read this stuff, continue to research it on their own. There's some other things that we need to. Was it before? I didn't mean to cut you off. Was there other things that you wanted to add to that?
No, the only other thing I was going to say. So we see this, you know, we don't believe this. However, there are numerous scripture references to giants in the Bible. Like I said, if you believe, the Bible and you're a Christian, the giants are absolutely real. If you believe the Bible, if you don't believe the Bible, then you can actually even, like I said, look this stuff up. There are numerous information on civilizations of cultures that had to be, you know, in excess of 13 feet tall because of the structures that were built. And you can easily look this up online, and also I'll give my website later so that people can look at the information. But, you know, they were the seed of Satan, or at least one seed. They were at least one seed of Satan, an offspring that was produced and that was born. Notice I said a seed, not all seed, but they were a part of these giants. Well, you know, you get into God in the book of Genesis, you know, where God, Genesis 6, you know, we have the flood that, well, we have the angels that come down and, you know, sleep with the daughters of men, and we have the offspring that are produced from that union, the Nephilim, the giants. But if we notice down further here, and it doesn't get into great detail, but verse 5, I'll even start there. It says, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time." Notice this is directly after the angels came down to earth and slept with the daughters of men. Then he says, the Lord was grieved. That's what it says, verse 6 of Genesis 6. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Lord, it says, so the Lord said, "I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth." Now notice this. The Lord says men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. Now, you have to ask yourself, now, of course, it says verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, but you have to ask yourself, what's up with that? Why did God destroy the animals? Now, obviously, okay, if the angels were sleeping with the daughters of men, okay, and they were producing giants on the earth, and there was great violence and wickedness on earth, okay, I could see that God destroyed the people, you know, because wanted to stop the corruption. So he wiped out, like it says, only Noah was the righteous one in God's eyes. Everyone else had turned to wickedness, and that is why God wiped them out. Now notice that happened after the angels came down to earth, and we're talking about falling at, you know, UFOs and coming down and sleeping with women. And what did God do? Wipe it out, the earth, or wipe out people. So I just want to make that point. Now, anyway, so why did he destroy the animals? Well, it says that wickedness was all across the face of the earth, and only, you know, Noah found righteousness in God's eyes. So what in the world were the fallen angels doing to the animals?
And let's talk about that just in the interest of time, because that's – and I hope you guys are following closely. I really hope you're following closely, because we're about to connect these dots. The Bible speaks clearly about, like you said, Oshel said, you know, everyone was wiped out. What did the animals do? Well, if you look at bestiality and things of that nature that also existed, you know, that are just – you know, Congress just passed a law, I believe, a couple months ago, making bestiality legal in certain states. And so one of the things you have to look at is that that was going on in biblical times, certainly in Sodom and Gomorrah. All types of sexual immorality was taking place. Now, as we get back to our original topic of aliens and things of that nature, that's also something else that is common amongst these abduction sightings and these documented cases in regards to animals. What can you tell us about what's being said by thousands of people who have documented their experiences in regards to animals?
Well, a lot of what you have data on as well in regards to animals and UFO abductions is that generally people report that animals around UFO sightings disappear. Maybe not a lot of people know that, but there's also a lot of report that around UFO sightings, if there are animals around, a lot of times they disappear. Dogs, you know, just different animals, perhaps cats as well. But, you know, also what it's something that's highly documented, not much talked about, but highly documented and somewhat talked about, is that cows are often abducted as well. And not just abducted, but cows are often left mutilated.
Mutilated.
And so they're that, you know, their tongues are removed, their eyes are removed, their reproductive organs are removed. You know, even their parts of their rectum are removed. So, you know, and it's done in such a fashion and with such a precision is the report that, you know, it almost looks undamaged, except for the fact that the eyes are missing, the tongue is missing. You wouldn't necessarily know in a lot of cases that somebody cut, you know, took that piece of the part of their body out, you know, of the cow's body, because it's done with a certain device in a certain manner where it's so clean cut, more sharper than the actual laser, like laser surgery, but it's much, much more accurate than that. And so, but this is what's going on in numerous, you know, hundreds and hundreds of, you know, beyond that, thousands of documented cases. You know, they've had, you know, cases of the, you know, animal mutilation, specifically with cows. There was one lady that actually, you know, reported, and this is just in general, that during her abduction, she saw, you know, the cow being, you know, like they were cutting out parts of the cow.
Oh, so, oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. So, you know, that's just something that you know, people are not, you know, necessarily may not be aware of, but is something that very much, again, you can look that up, you know, goes on during UFO abductions and cases. So you have the animal, you know, the tie-in again as well.
Also, one of the things also that I think is important to, you know, throw out there is what we mentioned in a couple shows ago, which is the Book of Enoch, which a lot of this stuff, which speaks to a lot of the things that we're talking about, in regards to just this whole the whole sexual immorality piece. What can you tell us about the Book of Enoch? What is it? Why is it not found in, you know, most translations or, you know, editions of the Bible as we know it? What would you tell people who are totally unfamiliar with it?
Well, the Book of Enoch is estimated to have been written around 250 B.C. Again, that's an estimation. Probably around the 2nd and 3rd centuries. An important point to note is around the 2nd and 3rd centuries, it was actually viewed as scripture. The Book of Enoch actually gives a detailed account of Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. And it gives also a much better understanding of what the days of Noah were actually like and what the angels who slept with the human women also did to the animals. But just to take a look, Dadon, like you said, at the validity of the Book of Enoch, because we are talking about an extra-biblical text right now that's not found in the Bible traditionally. So if you look in Revelations chapter 9, verse 13 through 19, and we actually look at Revelations 9, 13 through 19, and someone can look that up, it talks about the four angels that were bound in the Euphrates River being released in the final days of judgment, in the last days. These actual angels are referred to in the Book of Enoch. In the Book of Enoch, it talks about, as a matter of fact, these angels originally being bound in the river Euphrates. So then, again, you know, the Book of Enoch being an extra-biblical text, but we look at the Bible, in Revelation chapter 9, 13 through 19, and it talks about those same four angels that were bound being then released during the last days. If we look at Jude chapter 1, verse 14, which is in the Bible, it quotes actually from the actual text from the book of Enoch, and it says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Again, that's in the book of Enoch. It's quoted, I've read from the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 14, which is in the Bible, and it quotes exactly from the text of the book of Enoch, of chapter 1, verse 9, or Enoch 1, 9. And so it's an exact quote. Also, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, please go. Please continue.
So, no, we also, just to mention as well, there's also a reference made in the book of Peter, I believe 2 Peter as well, in 4:6, 2 Peter 4:6, talking about how God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness reserved for judgment. So, you know, and it talks about, goes on to talk about Noah, but Noah was saved one of eight people. The preacher of righteousness was saved. So Peter is specifically talking about the days of Noah right here in that time and the angels that we were talking about earlier as well. So there's a lot of, you know, references, you know, made to, in our actual Bible, or enough references, I would say anyway, made to the book of Enoch, even a direct quote from the book of Enoch. And, of course, Moses talks about Enoch in the Old Testament about how he was taken up by God and how he was not because he pleased God. So God just took him up to heaven. So we have a lot of mention of Enoch and his book as well, in the Bible. You know, the origin of Enoch, of the book of Enoch, is considered to be unknown.
Like you said, it's referred to several times throughout the Bible, and it's, you know, I mean, just why do you think it's not included? What is the reason for, you know, because you got to, if you guys aren't familiar, the Bible is the number one best-selling book in the history of the world. You know, I mean, billions of copies have been, you know, printed. And so when we look at, you know, how, you know, the world functions, you know, who controls these, you know, these publishing companies and things of that nature, the government, you know, why do you think that book was left out, specifically a book that deals with extraterrestrial giants, sexual immorality? You know, why what's the reason for that?
Well, you know, I think, you know, probably they don't, one of the major reasons is, you know, the mention of fallen angels and giants, you know, probably very generally throws people off. You know, like I said, there's some people that, you know, are a Christian that, you know, Genesis chapter 6 would look at it and say, I don't know if I believe that, but it's in the Bible and it is true. So I think the mention of fallen angels and angels coming to earth and actual giants kind of throws people off. You know, and personally, I believe it was left out of the Bible because it actually would give people information on what was going to happen during the end times.
Well, I mean, but if that's the case, I mean, someone would say, well, what's Revelations? I mean, Revelations gives a lot of, you know, it details exactly what's going to happen in the end times. Why Enoch, but not, or why Revelations, you know, why can something like that be there, but not the book of Enoch?
Well, Revelations is written, you know, is written, even when it talks about the dragon, you know, somewhat metaphorically. And it is written, and it does give you information about the end days. However, Enoch's a little more just the writing style is a little more blatant, you know. It's just more detailed, I think. So Revelation, while very much gives you information on the end times, I believe Enoch, the book of Enoch, gives a little more detail. It's like when you study and you research and you have some general information versus when you research and you dig a little deeper and you have then some very specific information. And, you know, it's always good to have very specific information, especially when you're dealing with, you know, the Bible. It's something that's real. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like they were looking to keep us in the dark and not have this, you know, step-by-step, you know, a guide of what exactly is going on and what will happen.
Sounds like it. I would probably, you have to say, you know, wonder sometimes, you know, the enemy's always at work, and I would just look at that personally as one of his works, you know, something that was done, like you said, to keep people in the dark, to keep people knowing, you know, a part of something that God very well wanted people to know more of and the truth about, you know. So, you know, while I'm not saying that all extra biblical books are, you know, scripture per se, I am saying that if nothing else, you know, based on various evidence to be considered, you know, at various, you know, numerous times that the book of Enoch is mentioned in the Bible and even directly quoted, that is something to take note of and to research and read yourself as well.
Wow. Guys, understand what we're saying. I mean, you know, there's certain key things that I don't want to be lost. I mean, and, you know, you've heard a lot, I know, and we'll have to definitely do like a part two and a part three to this, because it's obviously, you know, something that people are interested in knowing more about. But understand, I mean, that sin of Adam and Eve, you know, it really did have, you know, a catastrophic effect on the world as we know it. And there were a lot of things that we think, oh, it's like, okay, yeah, you're going to have, you know, pain in childbirth, but there are also severe spiritual implications, you know, and Adam and Eve were not the only people that were cursed. We, as descendants of Adam and Eve, were not the only ones that were cursed, but also the seeds of Satan were cursed. You guys have to understand that. And that is where, you know, if you're talking about something that is clearly not of this world, not of the human nature, you know, mankind, we're talking about seeds of Satan who have mixed at this point with humans, and you look around at what's going on, you know, these were giants, clearly not of this world, you know, extraterrestrial beings. You know, you look at the book of Enoch, you look at things in Genesis, in Numbers, in Jude, and, I mean, tons of other places, there's more than enough information that clearly tells you that there is clear evidence of things not of this world. So, I mean, I just want this show to be a starter point for you and for your research. Now, Osho, one thing that I did want to touch on this evening is that we talked earlier about the role of the government, you know, on the state level, you know, as well as the national level, the military, but also other countries have become passionate about researching this stuff on a whole nother level. You mentioned to me some information that you discovered about the Vatican and their role in researching extraterrestrial beings. What can you share about the Vatican specific? If you guys are unfamiliar about the Vatican, that's, you know, the foundation of the Catholic Church. What is their role? What have they become passionate about doing as of late?
Well, again, I would encourage everyone to pick up that book, Exo Vaticana, by Thomas Horn and Chris Putman. It's, you know, I would just say, I mean, they go into the book and about the Vatican that having been, you know, researching UFO for years, you know, having created powerful telescopes to look and, you know, to see about the UFOs, even one in particular, I believe the name of it is Project Lucifer. And I just want to say very quickly, this is not a slight against the Catholic Church at all. This is a wake-up call for all Christians, for all people, period. This is not a slight against them. But they did do research in their book. You know, like I said, they found out information that this has been something that's been researched for years, even something that is possibly being brought to a point of disclosure. And I'll just say that. You know, so that is something, you know, interesting that, you know, we really need to look, you know, we need to look into. And we, like I said, when people are saying, well, is this real or, you know, I don't know. We've given you some information here, just like I said, even what the research has been done by the Vatican. As a matter of fact, just in speaking about government, Dayan, and like you said, you know, what's going on with government, just as recent as last month, I think this is July, right, 2 months ago, there was actually a meeting held in D.C. on UFO disclosure. I just wanted to add that little caveat in there, you know, and if it should happen, how it should be done. That can be looked up in the Epoch Times, which can be looked up on the Internet. Again, it was in the May. This just happened in May. They were talking about, you know, officials, you know, military people giving their testimonies, people talking about should there be disclosure of UFOs. So obviously.
Osho, one thing that I think, you know, we talk a lot about the entertainment industry, and I know we're skipping around because there's just so much information that I want to touch on this evening, but there's, you know, there's some videos out here. You know, Katy Perry has a music video out. Lady Gaga. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, Beyonce. What did you notice just in regards to the extraterrestrial animals, the mixing of these species, you know, from an entertainment standpoint that you wanted the people to know tonight?
Well, even as I had mentioned before, Dayton, I just briefly touched on, well, you know, what were these angels were sleeping with the daughters of men, but what were they doing with the animals? Well, you have to also look throughout culture as well, you know, whether it be Greek mythology or other culture. What do you have? And you see oftentimes, you see these human-animal hybrids or mixtures of, you know, maybe a bull with a man, you know, a minotaur or a centaur, you know, a man with a horse's body, right? Or maybe a fawn. Or more commonly known, or I should say better known as a satyr, but most people call them fawns, a half man, half goat. Well, if you look at Katy Perry, I believe it's Katy Perry, her music video, I think it's her E.T. music video, then there are actually shots of Katy Perry's face, which are, like when you look at the video, which are interspersed with rapid cuts of images of cheetahs, monkeys, you know, all different types of animals and flowers and, you know, fungus and different things like that. Now, remember, we said in Genesis 1 that God, as he was creating things, said that he created things after their own kind, right? And also, you also see in the video shots, you know, being done real quickly of her face with all these images together, almost making it look like it's just the same thing. Like, it's all one, human, animal, plant. It's just the same thing. It kind of blurs the lines between human and other, you know, and animal, like I said, and plant. But the real thing is that near the end of the video or some part in the video, they actually show Katy Perry at the end as a half-human, half-deer. Her body, like the lower half of her body, is a deer. And not only that, there's this being that comes from above who she's walking with who almost looks like an alien-type being. So, again, what is Hollywood saying? What are they pushing on us?
Right. There's another video in the Lady Gaga, Born This Way, where she's singing about some crazy stuff. I mean, I know you're familiar with that. What can you say about that particular video?
Well, just, you know, from that video, you know, you see, you know, Lady Gaga there, you know, in the video. It's kind of manipulating her identity in that video. At one point, she's kind of displayed as, I guess you could say, like an alien goddess, almost. Again, we have that alien theme again, right? And then at another point, as a zombie, which is a very popular thing now, as you said, as you mentioned earlier, then like a dancer, then like some kind of humanoid life form. So, and then again, the video cuts between shots of her in all these different roles. So it almost seems like she's doing, you know, being all these things at once. You know, almost that, like, you know, there's no, you know, this is all, you know, all together. Again, we have that commonality of all things, you know, being drawn all together, you know, like it's one thing. And so from there, you also have, you know, when you do that and present things in that manner, I think it's like a, you know, it gets people desensitized. So then it's like, oh, okay, no, animals, you know, animals are great and everything, but it's like, oh, no, animals, oh, no, they're just as important as human beings. You know, animals' life is just as, you know, important as human beings, or animals and humans are all equal. It kind of falls within that, you know, Darwinist theory as well. We come from apes and things like that, you know. So if you came from ape, then what's the difference between you and an ape? You're equal. So why shouldn't an ape be driving a car and going to work and have a job?
You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's like, you know, we kind of disperse those lines, you know, of just like that movie that you mentioned, I think it's Warm Bodies, where you have a zombie, which is a being that is undead, that is dead but not dead, but walking around, just like the famous show The Walking Dead, which is one of the most popular shows of all time right now, you know, sleeping with or being with a regular human being. And again, you have something that is not of humankind, and as a matter of fact is evil, conjoining or coming together with something that is of humankind. And that's exactly basically what you have in the video of Lady Gaga as well, these different things, you know, alien goddess, zombie, you know, the alien, you know, humanoid form, as though it's coming all together as one.
Wow. And you actually mentioned to me a movie about entitled Drop Dead. If you aren't familiar with that, let them know what that's all about. That's a very interesting subject matter it deals with.
Well, I know just in speaking of, you know, that movie, you know, I was thinking about the Warm Bodies one. Just where those, you know, I never forget I saw that in a movie theater, and I'm sitting there, and I think I was watching, I don't know why I was watching a movie. And then all of a sudden this video comes up, you know, or this, you know, they have the commercials or whatever, the advertisement for Warm Bodies. And I'm thinking to myself, what, you know, what in the world? I mean, obviously people are in these zombie movies and you're killing zombies and this and that. We've got a million zombie games. And, you know, and then all of a sudden this guy is supposed to be a zombie is falling in love with this girl. And I'm looking around, I'm honestly looking around the movie theater, I'm thinking to myself, does anybody else find this strange? Is there anybody else, you know, like they say, it's just me, you know, that says, like, what in the world are we showing people, you know, on the TV, you know? But you know, so like I said, and even in the Bible, you know, just to be more specific about certain things, it talks against, you know, a man or person shall not sleep or a woman with an animal. These are things that were specifically talked about in the law of the Old Testament. Even in some, you know, Jewish culture, like ancient Jewish culture, you know, in terms of touching an undead body, and even in the Bible, you weren't supposed to touch things that were a dead body. It was unclean. You understand?
Right. In fact,
that's where we get.
In fact,
yeah.
I was just going to read the scripture. It's in Numbers 19:16. Says, and if someone in an open field touches the corpse of someone who was killed with a sword or who died a natural death, or if someone who touches a human bone or a grave, that person will be defiled for 7 days. And that's in Numbers 19:16. So you guys have to understand, when we talk about, you know, Satanism and people who have become passionate about making a mockery of the Word of God, you know, if you missed our special on Satanism in the entertainment industry, you know, definitely go back and listen to that, because we break all this stuff down. But there are people out there in high places who are very passionate about making mockeries, so that, you know, the zombie phenomenon, like you said, The Walking Dead, World War Z, you know, Warm Bodies, I mean, and countless others, Night of the Living Dead. I mean, the list goes on and on. People are not only touching these zombies and interacting with these zombies, which would, in the Old Testament, you know, lead to them being, you know, labeled unclean, but they're actually having sex with these beings. That's how sick these people are. They're making a mockery of it. They say, oh, we're not just going to have you touch it, which will lead to you being unclean. We're going to actually have you have a relationship, which goes right back to what they want to ultimately happen. Because if you look at, well, what happened when these people procreated before, you know, well, they formed the seeds of Satan. Well, so obviously, if you were talking about Satanists with a satanic agenda, clearly they want to put out their images that would lead to, you know, furthering the kingdom of Satan. You understand? And that's what's going on out here on a large scale. People who are passionate about you know, making a mockery of Christianity and lifting up and glorifying satanic ideologies.
And just wanted to say something about that real quick, Dayton. Like, even like you said with the movie, I mean, we've seen it for years. I mean, even with Dracula, not to get too far, but you say, you know, you look at that Count Dracula. If you look at Leviticus 17:11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. The life is in the blood. God is saying that he put life in our blood. What does Count Dracula do?
He drinks blood. He sucks. He sucks the blood. Therefore, in essence, sucking the life out of people. And we see these type of things. Even with, you know, when you look at zombies, you know, just an interesting scripture I just wanted to note. We said, well, where is that? Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12 through 15. And it says, and the Lord will send a plague on all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their people will become like walking corpses, their flesh rotting away. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths.
Read the rest of it.
On that day they will be terrified, stricken by the Lord with great panic. They will fight their neighbors hand to hand. Judah, too, will be fighting at Jerusalem. The wealth of all the neighboring nations will be captured, great quantities of gold and silver and fine clothing. This same plague will strike the horses, mules, camels, donkeys, and all other animals in the enemy camps.
Let me just say something about that real quick. This is Zechariah 14, 12 through 15, and I want you guys to really read that. And you heard it just now. What does that sound like to you? I told you a couple of shows ago, Hollywood, I mean, these shows, these movies are not just movies. They are political, social, and spiritual statements. Mm-hmm. You know, they are a sign of of things to come and things that these sick people would like to see come. And so this is straight from the Word. I mean, it's describing all of this stuff that Hollywood is putting out there. Zombies. The Lord will send a plague on the nations that fight against Jerusalem. Their people will become like walking corpses. Okay? This is what will happen to people who fight against Jerusalem.
God's
okay?
People,
they will be they will become like walking corpses. Their flesh will be rotting away. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. If that doesn't look like these zombies, you know, I don't watch The Walking Dead, but many of you do, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. That's what these zombies are portrayed to look like. You understand that? These people will be terrified, stricken by the Lord, with great panic. Well, what do you see in these commercials for World War Z and all this other stuff? People going crazy, panicking. They will fight their neighbors hand to hand. People who they were friends with previously, their neighbors who they just broke bread with, they will fight them. Judah, too, will be fighting at Jerusalem. The wealth of all neighboring nations will be captured. Great quantities of gold and silver and fine clothing. This same plague will strike the horses, the mules, the camels, the donkeys, and all other animals in the enemy camps. This is a clear indication of what will come. The sign of the times. This is what will happen, and these people realize it's what will happen. That's why they talk about it, and they can't wait for it to happen, because it means that will bring about hell on earth. These people who worship Satan, they want the end of the world to come. What they don't realize is that they will be judged and spend eternity in the lake of fire, but they're thinking it's going to be all one big party, but it's not. That's why they're excited about it. Jay-Z brags about it and raps about, life begins when the church ends. Jesus can't save you. Life begins when the church ends. All black everything, the absence of the sun. You know, this is what it will be when the devil roams the earth as we know it. And so, in Hollywood, these are people who are passionate about, you know, putting images of this out there. So I want you guys, like I said, I told you we're going to talk about what the Word says about what you're seeing around you, what it says about these beings that are not of earth. Because I think it's weird, like, you know, we said earlier, like when you hear the word alien, you think of something weird, some little green monster, some, you know, flying saucer. That's not what these things are. This is anything that is not of humankind, that is of strange flesh. You don't understand that? Like, I could go on and on about this, but I wanted to do this show because people don't really understand what that is, what these people are, and what, you know, these are seeds of Satan. Go ahead, Osh, my bad. What were we going to say about that?
No, you're absolutely fine. Just one thing to note as well, there are actually people that have formerly been in cults and practiced Satanism who, after they became saved and accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, actually have attested to seeing these creatures that we don't even believe are real. And there have been people that have attested to this, that have come out of these, like I said, these cults and practicing Satanism. You know, and like you said, Dadon, God, continues to perpetuate this. And I want to just say, for anyone who is in a cult or practicing Satanism, understand that the devil does not love you. He has nothing, but what he wants to do is use you as an ends to a mean, or mean to an end. You know, so please get out. You know, please accept. You know, seek the Lord. He will save you. And you know, so I just want to say that to anyone out there, God will save you, and He can. And please come
out of
that.
And that's great. And I'm glad you said that, because when you, and another thing that people don't realize is that when you hear the word cult, or you hear, you know, the label, you know, Satanist, or, you know, things like that, you think of these weirdos, people dressed in all black, these goth, you know, type of weirdos out there. But it's really not that. You know, that's not really what it is on a large scale. It's people who are passionate about, you know, these secret societies. You know, those are what you would consider cults. You know, those are people who all have similar beliefs that are clearly not of God. You know, and anything that is an organization, you know, that believes in a higher being, or considers themselves to be spiritual, but that spirit is not Jesus Christ and is not God as we know it, then it's, you know, it's a cult. You know, it's satanic. And I think that, you know, that's why I did the show on Satanism and what it is and how people practice, because it's, you know, it's not. There are a lot of misconceptions out there about what's going on and what people believe. A lot of your favorite celebrities are, by definition, Satanist. You know, a couple people just to throw out there: Oprah Winfrey, Will Smith, Kanye West, Rihanna. I mean, you know, these are, you know, Tom Cruise. These, you know, these, a lot of these celebrities out there have the exact same beliefs of proven Satanists. I posted a video, actually maybe several months ago, that had specific interviews with actual current Satanists, and then it flipped directly to interviews with Will Smith, with Oprah Winfrey, with Kanye West, with Rihanna, and they were saying literally the exact same thing as these Satanists who are current practicing Satanists. Osho, is that not amazing?
I mean, I think the one thing to understand is that for anyone, and this is just, you know, what is, who does not accept Jesus Christ as Lord, the Bible says that that's the spirit of the Antichrist, you know. And the spirit of the Antichrist is specifically the spirit of Satan, the Antichrist. You know, he is the one that, you know, that is, you know, seeking to bring the Antichrist to earth. So when you leave yourself open in that area, it becomes, you know, very easy to be pulled in on deeper levels into, following the devil, into doing what the devil, you know, him controlling you. And in that control, he can, you know, get you in a position where, you know, not only is he controlling you, but he, you know, has complete control of you and has you in, you know, cults or in, you know, different things, whether it's, you know, whatever, you know, Scientology, different things that, you know, are not of God and do not, you know, please the Lord. And, you know, and, you know, so that's what that is. And I just want to say earlier, just not off topic, but even when, you know, I was talking about Sodom, Gomorrah, and strange flesh, to anyone, you know, my heart just goes out, anyone that is, you know, that is in a lifestyle of homosexuality or lesbianism as well, I wanted you to understand about what I said earlier, that God loves you. God really does love you, truly. He wants you to come out of that lifestyle, but he loves you completely. And he wants you to give you a lifestyle that, you know, that will make you truly overjoyed and truly happy. So, you know, this is about setting people free. Like I said earlier, people being free from fear, free from all sorts of things, bondage, and knowing the truth of Christ and the love of God.
Absolutely. In fact, real quick, I'll just say, as we get ready to wrap it up, we actually did a whole show about a year ago specifically on homosexuality and what the Bible says about it. On tonight's show, we've spoken a lot about Sodom and Gomorrah and even the story of Noah. We did a whole three-hour show, Courtney and I, on just specifically dissecting what the Bible says about what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, how he feels about it, what the Word says about it all throughout the Bible. One of my personal all-time favorite shows, classic show, if you missed it, that, you know, society, the government, the entertainment industry is really pushing this homosexual agenda. Be clear, homosexuality is the driving force that led to Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed, as well as the earth, the world being destroyed, because Noah was the only person that God could find who was righteous. You understand that? So definitely check out the archives of that show if you missed it. Osho, what are some common misconceptions that you want to just make sure people leave with, having cleared up today, about UFOs, about aliens, or really just anything that we've discussed on tonight?
Well, just some, just a few things. Like, as we said, as far as misconceptions, again, people believe that aliens are these beings, you know, from another planet, intelligent beings. They believe that they are civilization, ancient civilization that perhaps even seeded us here and put us on Earth, which they did not. But they also believe that, they're just these beings that are maybe all powerful. They think they're all intelligent, which they are not. They may be more intelligent, but they're not all intelligent. The Bible talks about God being omnipotent. Aliens or fallen angels are not omnipotent. They don't know everything. And they are not here to help us. I want to clearly make that point. If nobody else understands anything else I said, they are not here to help us, but they are actually rather here to use us, which a lot of people report. They're here to use us. Women, oftentimes, as I said, look up miscarriages and women and UFOs as incubators, and also the seed of or sperm for men. So they're here to use us to set up the an end game in terms of what the enemy is seeking to do in the end days. And so that's just a misconception. They give you a little bit of truth, just like the serpent did in the garden. They tell you about a little bit of truth and give you a lie and sell you a lie in the midst of it so that you can, be destroyed. The Bible says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. When you look at what aliens, quote-unquote aliens, do, or fallen angels, or demons, however you want to look at it, that's what they do. They steal, have been stealing animals, people. They've been killing, mutilating animals. There's also been reported human mutilation, which is highly undocumented, but it has been reported in some alien UFO cases. And they've been destroying families, destroying lives, destroying people's souls and spirits, and sending them and leading them astray, trying to lead them into hell and destroy their bodies. I'll get into, what the final days as well whenever you want to do that, but just wanted to state that.
Yeah, we're going to need to do a sequel to this show just to continue, because I've been trying to skip around and make sure we covered everything we want to touch on tonight, but there's tons more information, so much deeper we can go with it, but we wanted to just do an introductory show for people who may have been totally unfamiliar with this subject matter and just give you a little bit of an introduction so that when we come back, so you guys can do some research, and then when we come back, we can have a much, different discussion on it. Osho, go ahead and, obviously people want to, if they want to know more about you, if they want to know more about this subject and what you, have said on it, why don't you throw out your personal website where you tackle a lot of this issue, where a lot of these documented cases can be found. What is that site, and where can people, keep up with you?
Sure, absolutely. And I just want to say this, even because I don't want time to run out without saying that. Just real quick, for anyone who has not accepted the Lord as Savior of your life, Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And we just talked about this stuff. It's not a game. So I pray that you confess and believe and be saved in the name of Jesus. For anyone that's wanting to follow me, my information, you can go to www.endtimewarrior.com. That's endtimewarrior777.com. Again, that's www.endtimewarrior777.com. And you'll be able to see various information, some of what we mostly, what we discussed this evening, perhaps some more detailed information you'll be able to see in regards to giants, UFOs, and other things like that. So you can check me out on that site, and feel free to email. It's meta.oh@gmail.com. Again, that's meta4, metaphor.oh@gmail.com, metaphor.oh@gmail.com. So feel free to email me there as well.
Excellent, man. Well, Osho, I appreciate you being here tonight, man. This is a show that I've been wanting to do for a very long time. I'm glad we finally got a chance to, you know, get it out there to the people. You and I, we talk about this stuff all the time, but it's been a pleasure having you here. Guys, everybody, I thank you for spending your Monday night here with us this evening. I know a lot of you guys are still tired from the holiday and just, you know, but this is stuff that is important, you know, and it's important because it is biblical. And as you know, the Bible is truth. And one of the things that Osho just said to, you know, kind of close us out is, you know, understand that the most important thing you can do is accepting the Lord into your life, because you're just out here living life like the rest of these guys, just like as sure as they're going to hell. You know, if you haven't accepted Christ and aren't passionate about Christ, then that will be your fate as well. So, it's always great to hear Osho. You know, I've even seen Osho in action approaching strangers, you know, and I just, you know, want to say that we need, you know, more men, you know, on fire for Christ like Osho. You know what I'm saying? Any last thoughts you wanted to add to the people before we get ready to get out of here, man?
I just want to say just a quick prayer. Lord, I pray to anyone that listened to this session this evening that they be touched by your Holy Spirit. Pray they be touched by your love and that they be changed completely in the name of Jesus. And know that you will save them from anything, any disaster. God, touch them, show them your love and your mercy, and draw them close to you and to your Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And, you know, just want to share that God loves you, all glory to God and everything. He loves everybody and just wants them to know the truth. And the truth is Christ, and the truth is the Word of God.
Excellent, man. On that note, it's nothing else to say. I appreciate you all for listening, and we will see you all tomorrow night. Peace.
Call me.